Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
Just because people believe something, folks, that doesn't mean that it's true. That just means they believe it, and that's all. Now check this out. For years they taught that if you dropped a big rock and a small rock, they'll fall at different speeds. No, that's not true. Galileo proved in 1590, everything falls at the same speed. But do you know for thousands of years people believe something that's simply not true? Folks, just because people believe something to be true, that doesn't make it true. For years they taught if you were sick, you had bad blood. Now George Washington's own doctors, four of them, bled him to death in 1799. They said, quick, call the barber, the president's sick. And people say, call the barber? Well, the barber had the razor. When somebody was sick, they thought they had bad blood. They'd get the razor to slit the wrist to bleed out the patients. That's how they thought they would solve the problem. Now, if they knew their Bible a little better, maybe they wouldn't have done that. The Bible does say that the life of the flesh is in the blood. But nevertheless, what happened is they called them and they slit him. Now, by the way, if you look at your veins, you look kind of blue. But if you were to take a razor of some kind and slit your wrist, it would be red. It would be dripping. And do you know that's why the barber pole is what it is? That's why it's red and blue striped. And that's why it spins to simulate that dripping effect there. But what happened is they called the barber and they slit him and he got worse. They slit him a second time, he got worse. They slit him a third time, he got real bad. They slit him a fourth time and he died. George Washington's own doctors killed him in 1799. Now folks, those doctors were highly trained. Those doctors were sincere. Those doctors were educated. Those doctors were motivated. Those doctors were wrong. They were dead wrong in what it is they believe. Just because people believe something, that doesn't make it true. That just means they believe it. That's all. Hey, think about this. Majority opinion? Doesn't mean anything. Only 8 people got on the ark. Now, do you realize what the majority opinion was? Wow, Noah, this is a really big boat. You're building on dry land. No water here, pal. Tell us that story again. Water's coming out of the sky. I'm going to come up from the ground. We're going to die if we don't get on your boat. Yeah, right, Noah. Okay. Folks, do you realize something here? Noah was not hiding his faith in the closet. He was building this enormous structure out on dry land for the whole world to see. No matter the scoffing, no matter the ridiculing, no matter what, he's still going to go through with what God told him to do. No doubt, now think of this, no doubt he elicited help. He got help from somewhere, from other people, to help build this boat. And a lot of times people think, well, I wonder why all these people who might have helped him build this boat, they didn't even believe him and get on board. You know what, folks? You have electricians show up at a church to do some work. You have plumbers come in to do some work at the church. They're building all over truth all around. They don't believe it either. They don't go on board. It's really not that much different today. It's just amazing. If I said to you that if you kissed a frog, it would turn into a prince, would any of you believe me? Any of you women get your husbands by kissing a frog? Anybody? One. Oh, that's my wife. It doesn't work very often, okay? It's proven now, but... Hopefully everybody agrees in here. You know what, folks? Frogs do not turn into princes. It doesn't work that way. But that's exactly what our kids are being taught. Our kids are being taught that. People say, who teaches that? Just every science textbook you get your hands on, that's all. Somewhere in these textbooks, it doesn't matter, earth science, general science, biology, it doesn't matter what it is, what branch of science it is. Every single one of them, somewhere in there, they'll have charts of some kind. Some use pictures, some use words, some use graphs, some use whatever, but they all have it in there. They say we started off as simple life forms and we go through all these various stages, and now that we're on the scene, and of course we're so smart now, we can look back and see how things worked out, and well, look at there, folks. A frog can turn into a prince. Now, it's not a simple kiss. They say, that's a fairy tale. What they do is they stir in hundreds of millions of years and then call that stuff good science. No, folks, that's not good science. See, technically, that's not even bad science. You know what the reality is? Folks, that's not science at all. What that is, that's a belief system. Anybody's free to believe whatever they want. That doesn't mean it's true. That just means they believe it. That's all. But it's taught as a fact. Start watching how often the word fact is used with evolution. Even if it's not using the word fact, notice how factually it's presented, at least. But folks, we need to understand today's fact is only going to be tomorrow's discarded theory. Things they used to teach were so, they've realized are not so after all. Look at this text. This is amazing. Many scientific facts of the past are now known to be incorrect. I dare say many scientific facts of today are known to be incorrect, but they still teach them. Hey, how about this one? Are theories always true? No theory is ever beyond dispute. Therefore, it would be a serious mistake to believe that science ever produces absolute truth. Now, folks, this is amazing. They admit that their facts change. They admit that they can't arrive at truth, but thy word is truth. So why are people believing something that's admittedly never going to get them there? It's really quite amazing when you stop and think about it. Because they've been taught that. That's why. Look at this one. Dinosaurs lived on this earth 200 million years ago, to be exact. Ken Ham's famous line, were you there? You know, Dino Don writes in several publications. Highlights happen to be one of them, Highlights for Children. Anyway, somebody wrote in and asked him a question. Why do dinosaur books have conflicting facts? That's a good question. We had somebody just the other day email us and say, hey, Mr. Grohman, that Dino Don thing, I asked him a question and he told us the answer that they got back. It's funny. And even this child knows his answer is nonsense. But anyway, they asked this question. Why do dinosaur books have conflicting facts? Which is a good question. If they're facts, why wouldn't they all say the same thing? Well, check out this expert's answer. Dinosaur books have different information for at least two reasons. The first is the people who wrote the books might have made mistakes. That's true. The second reason is that many of the details, which we often call facts, are really conclusions of scientists who have studied the evidence. These conclusions often change as new evidence is found, so we no longer believe what we once thought was right. Now, folks, think about this. Thought, believe, conclusions that often change, details, but we call them facts when we give them to you. Folks, just because it's presented as a fact does not mean that it's a fact. It means that that's what people believe it to be. And it's the same everywhere. Scientific theories, we're at St. Louis Science Center. Look what it says here. Facts supporting accepted theories change. Well, then how can they be a fact if it's not a fact? If it's not... It's just ridiculous. But anyway, how about this one? America's first family. So we think we're talking George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, right? But not in this textbook. In this textbook, under America's first families, they're actually talking about trilobites. Now what they are, they're talking about these trilobite creatures, and they say that these things are 500 million years old. Now wait a second. They say that trilobites are more than halfway between first simple living things and ourselves. Now wait a minute, they're saying that 500 million years ago, you go back in time far enough out, this guy right here is obviously our grandpa. Now folks, anybody is welcome to believe that's grandpa if they want to, but that's not science. That's just goofy is all that is. We have some trilobites, so some big ones and little ones down in the trays down here. Anybody is welcome to believe we came from that if they'd like to, but that doesn't mean that it's true. We actually have some trilobites. We've been on some trilobite digs. It's a lot of fun digging up fossils and whatnot. My wife has some on her table back there if you want some later. It's just kind of neat stuff, but anyway, the point is, it doesn't mean that it's true. Check this out. This, teacher's edition textbook. Again, some of the ways of them how they're presenting creation and evolution in the textbooks, and God and evolution in the textbooks and that kind of thing. Look at what this is. This is a teacher's edition Prentice Hall biology textbook, and it says, point, it's a little teacher's tip here, point out to students that Darwin could very easily have dismissed all of his observations or simply attributed them to a mysterious force or deity. Now, folks, look what this is saying. They're saying the teacher is supposed to point out to the students that Darwin, just as well as they, could have dismissed all of his science and believed in his God if he wanted to. However, Darwin trusted his science, his observation. Therefore, that's what the students should do. Now, folks, this is kind of a subtle one here, but this is, it's incredible how the textbooks are being, how they're steering a way of thinking among students these days. They're saying, as a teacher, you are supposed to point out that Darwin, you know, he could have believed in his God, but he trusted his science instead. And that's what the students then ought to do. Folks, it's just incredible what is being done in these textbooks these days. Anyway, look at this thing. It shows a picture of a starfish here, and it says, the nearly 3.4 billion years old to the remains of early ancestors of modern human beings. They're saying that we used to be a starfish. Now, folks, anybody's welcome to believe that, but that's not science, you see. I get asked all the time, why would they put something in a textbook if it's not true? Now, folks, think about that for a second. That is really a valid question. That's a good question. It is in the textbooks that we came from starfish, for instance. That's not true, but it's in the books. Why? Well, really and truly, there are only two options to answer that kind of a question. Number one, either they don't know that it's not true, and we should tell them. Or number two, they do know that it's not true. Well, then that's a lie. You see, folks, it's not true. We did not come from a starfish. Either they don't know it or they do know it. Either way, we are the ones with the truth. We are the ones that do know better. Therefore, we are the ones that are responsible to step up to the plate and help straighten the mess out. At the very minimum, within our very own families and our very own church kids and our very own grandkids and such. All too often, it's just not that way. And kids are going to school and they're getting this weird stuff, and they come back home and ask mom and dad for the answers, and mom and dad don't have the answers either. And so therefore the kids are seeing the good pictures and the videos and all this kind of stuff at the school systems, and they see it gets reinforced in there. And then we go home and mom and dad don't have the answers for them, and then you get another year of that and another year of that, another year of that, another year of that. It gets worse, folks. We need to step up to the plate. Our kids are at stake. See, again, we need Christians to be involved. We're supposed to be the salt and the light. We're supposed to stick out like a sore thumb. But you know what, folks? All too often, you can't tell who's who out there anymore. But we're supposed to be different. It's just not that way anymore. But where are the Christians? Where are the people that are just willing to step up to the edge of the cliff there and simply say, here am I, Lord. I'll go. I'll do it. What do you want me to do? And then do what he says to do. It's very important. Contenders for the crown. Look at this. Showing two dinosaurs that look identical. The Gigantosaurus and the Tyrannosaurus never met. They're not even closely related, but the similarities are colossal. Now, wait a minute. These two dinosaurs that look identical are not even closely related. But we came from a starfish? Whoa, I'm missing something. I don't get it. Hey, how about this one? New fossil worms in the rock record. What's the big deal about this worm? Well, he's ancestral to humans. You used to be a worm, you see. That's all. How about this one? This is amazing. Humans are an important part of the Earth environment. Together with every other living organism, humans probably evolved from bacteria that lived more than 4 billion years ago. Whoa, you came from bacteria. Thought occurred to me. If you want a really, really big family, hey, just don't clean your showers. You get lots of kids, be popping up everywhere. How about this one? Humans and yeast share common ancestors. Humans and yeast? Hey, maybe there's something to this Pillsbury Doughboy after all. That's Uncle Fred and you never knew it. Wow. Folks, it's just nonsense. But yet, by the way, you can verify this one. Just go to the grocery store and grab a bag of this stuff. It says right on top, Grandma inside. Yeah, she's right there. She's in there. In fact, funny thing about these grandmas, they're still highly active. I don't know about these grandmas these days. You know, you watch out for them. It's just amazing. We have this Raven Johnson biology textbook sitting on the table over there, and they have a whole section in the chapter, Evidence for Evolution, and they are ridiculing creation and creationism. It's incredible. And in that chapter, look what it says. Science consists of inferring principle from observation. When faith is substituted for observation, the conclusion is not science. And that's true. If you just have faith instead of observation, you don't have science. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it faith or is it observational testing science that we came from a starfish? Folks, that is faith only. Is it faith or is it science that we came from bacteria? That's the faith only. There's nobody who could ever do that. You can't show that. You can't watch that. You can only believe that. Is it faith or is it observation that we came from trilobites and worms and all that kind of stuff? Folks, by the very definition, in a section ridiculing creation, they are admitting that what they're showing and talking about and teaching concerning evolution is not science, because it is a faith-based system. It says here, scientific creationism should not be labeled science for three reasons. Number one, it is not supported by any scientific observation. Again, that's not true. You want a scientific observation? I'll give you a scientific observation. You watch a cow give birth, it's gonna be a cow. You watch a kangaroo give birth, it's gonna be kangaroo. You watch a tomato plant produce something and it's gonna be a tomato. It is going to absolutely do what God told it to do. Folks, we are the ones with the science on our side, not the other way around. But then they go and say the coelacanth is our closest fish relative. Our closest living relative without legs is a fish. Well, anybody can believe that's their relative if they'd like to, but it's not science, you see. I get asked all the time, so what are you trying to say, Steve? What's the big point? The Bible is not a science textbook. Okay, it's true, the Bible is not a science textbook. But folks, the Bible has science in it. And whatever the Bible speaks on is the truth of the issue. So it doesn't matter. So whatever talks about science, it's the truth of it. But here's the problem we have in this country. People get their information about the Bible from a source other than the Bible. And a lot of times those sources are not right. In fact, here's a good example. Think of the depiction, just think of it for a moment, a picture of Noah's Ark. It's always the same, folks. It's always this nice, happy-go-lucky, party barge kind of a ride. There are always two of all sorts of animals looking through all kinds of windows. They got them all over the place. There are two white birds in the sky. One has something green in its mouth. The Bible says he let out a raven and a dove. That's a black bird and a white bird, as a matter of fact. But that's not the way the depictions are. You can't find a depiction that's got it right. I mean, it's always this party barge looking thing. We show pictures like this to kids and we have them hanging up in the walls and they're all over the place. That's the impression of Noah's Ark. And then we go and try to tell some work co-worker that we're working with, well, Noah's Ark, you know, that's a true account. You know, that really happened. And they say, hey, you're right, okay, sure. It's no wonder they don't believe us. Then we teach our kids these songs. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. That's a cute little song, but it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the walls came down and then they fought the battle. See, the song's got it backwards, you see. I mean, all kinds of examples of that stuff, but the people get impressions of the Bible from a source other than the Bible, and so then those sources aren't right quite often. You know, we get these books and videotapes and things, stories, Bible stories from the Old Testament, Bible stories from the New Testament, Bible stories, this, that, and another thing. I just have such a problem with these things. Mommy, read me a book, it's bedtime. Okay, go get a book. So she goes to the bookshelf, pulls out this book about Bible stories from the Old Testament. And your mommy says, oh, that's a nice book. Yeah, where do you want me to start? We'll just start at the beginning. And then she says, no, never mind, mommy. Hey, read me about Big Bird instead. Hey, mommy, read me that Bible story about, nah, never mind, how about Donald Duck? Hey, mommy, read me that Bible story about, no, never mind, how about Mickey Mouse? How about Bert and Ernie? Now, folks, look what we've done in this country. This book is not a collection of cutesy little stories. This book is a collection of biblical accounts of things that really happen. Thy word is truth, and some that are still yet future to happen. But the point is, thy word is truth. But we've taken the truth of the word of God, relegated such story status to it, we put in the storybooks with all the other cutesy little stories, and people grow up and it's just a cutesy little story. And they can't figure out what's gone wrong here. And then they go off to school and they get the facts. And it's presented as though it's true, and then the kids start a battle in their minds. And it goes on for a long time, usually, before they ever even mention it to anybody else. And all of a sudden, this battle has been taking place. They're getting the cutesy little stories for about an hour, once a week, and they're getting hammered with the evidence and the facts, contrary. And folks, it affects people. It really does. They grow up and they start to doubt. What's true? What's not true? What's going on here? I could go on for an hour giving you accounts of people who have personally come up to us and told us their story about how their daughter, their son, their grandkids, their whatever, their husband, their wife, their spouse, falling because of the creation versus evolution issue, about how they fell for the evolutionary concept. So what does the Bible say? Let's take a look at it. Since thy word is truth, it must have something to say on it. The Lord talking, Matthew 19:4 says, have ye not read? It's important he starts this way, saying, look, guys, you know this, haven't you? Read this? He which made them at the beginning made them male and female. He's talking about Adam and Eve. And we know that for sure. He even nails it down better in Mark 10:6. It's the Lord talking, says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. He's talking about Adam and Eve. The way we know that for sure is the context. It's marriage, divorce, remarriage. That's the context of what he's talking about here. Well, come on, listen. Puppy dogs don't get married, okay? Bunny rabbits don't get married. Nobody in this room has ever been to a hamster wedding. He's talking about mankind. Adam and Eve were here from the beginning of the creation. Now, folks, he didn't say it was a beginning of another creation. He didn't say it was the beginning of a spiritual creation. He didn't say it was a second beginning of a recreation. He says, but from the beginning of the creation, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so. Do you realize? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and all throughout, folks, that whole creation chapter, it was a six-day creation time frame. Climax with the creation of mankind. The God himself who spoke this place into existence says that was the beginning of the creation. Therefore, that was the beginning of the creation. It's hard to get around that because that's exactly what it says right there. But that's not what the textbooks say. They show this little guy, a little 6-inch tall fella, 10-inch tail. He's got long fingers and toes and big bug eyes. It says these characters relate it closely to true monkeys, but more especially placed in the line of man's descent. It is often regarded as his ancestor. Anybody is welcome to believe this guy right here is ancestral to humans if they want to. But folks, that's not science. That's just a goofy belief system. That's not science, you see. So what does the Bible say? Well, you know, if you take the timeline, the time elements given in Scripture, and you put it on a graph, you see it in a way that you don't see it when you just read the Bible. Now think of this for a second. The Bible says that Adam was 130 years old and begat Seth. Now, a lot of times people say, well, it's true it does say that, but that doesn't mean it was his son. That could have been a grandson. I understand where they're coming from, but now I believe it was his son, but hang on a second. In this particular issue, it's an irrelevant point because the time is still given. And that's what we're looking at, 130 years. And he begot Seth. Seth lived 105, begot Enos. He lived 90 years, begot Canaan. He lived 70 years, begot Mahalalel. 65. That's the way that part of the chart works. The Bible says that Adam was 130 years old, begot Seth. After that time lived 800 years. That the Bible says Adam lived long enough to know his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Lamech. Do you know that Adam got to meet Noah's daddy? Now, folks, can you imagine a family reunion back then? I mean, seriously, whoa. I get this all the time, too. People say, well, Steve, you can't trust the Bible. Well, why not? They say, well, temples burn and translations change and words mean different things over time. You can whisper a secret in somebody's ear. 20 people later, that's a different secret. And everybody's played those kind of games before. Don't do that. That's called gossip. But anyway, but the point is, yeah, that's the way that thing works. But you can't use that logic and apply it to the Bible. If you take a look at a longevity chart, and the list goes on, all of the heavy hitters of the Bible, their lifespans intersect each other, or their daddy's lifespans intersect. Adam got to tell Noah's daddy what it was like in the garden. That is incredible when you stop and think about it. Folks, there is no loss of translation there. It is straight hand-me-down information. There's no loss of anything there. And you take the timelines and graph it all the way back. Adam and Eve were here around 6,000 years ago. You cannot get exact. The Bible says Adam was 130. It doesn't say whether he was 130 and 2 days old, 130 and 30 days old, 130 and 90 days old. You ask somebody, how old are you? 12. When's your birthday? Tomorrow. How old are you? 12. When's your birthday? Last week. How old are you? 12. Well, when's your birthday? About 6 months. I mean, we still do the same. It's still 12 in that whole year time frame. I mean, so you could be off a year either side of the equation, you know, on all the names. But even at that, that's still, it's only a few thousand years. It's certainly not millions. It's certainly not billions. It's not possible. That's when Adam and Eve are here. And people have hang-ups. They say, well, where did Cain get a wife? Well, he married a sister. And people say, married a sister? Well, think of a few things. First of all, hey, who would you report him to? I mean, you know, those people aren't around yet, so don't worry about that, you know? Hey, think about this for a second. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all. The Bible says in Acts 17, all nations of one blood. If you take your family tree and you graph it back far enough, you're going to find Noah and his family. If you keep graphing it back, you're going to find Adam and Eve. You know, everybody on the planet that ever has been, ever is, or ever will be on this planet all go back to the same grandparents, Adam and Eve. You married a brother or sister also. We're a little further away today, but we're still all in the same family tree together anyhow. It's not such a big deal marrying a sister back then. Adam married a rib, he got along fine. So marrying a sister is not a big problem. The genetic difficulties that we have now would not have been there that bad. Anyway, so there ought to be some evidence. If everything's only a few thousand years old, there ought to be some evidence to confirm that. Well, let's take a look. Astronomy Magazine, December 1989. If New Year's Eve seems a little long this year, there's a good reason. They announced that 1989 will be exactly one full second longer than a normal year. The Earth's rotation is gradually slowing down. That was 89 to 90. 90 to 91, give one last tick. The Earth is slowing down. 1992, give one last tick. The Earth is slowing down. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 8, 9, 10. Every year, folks, every year, we have to add a second to the clock. Been going on and on and on. As a matter of fact, you know, every handful of months, they have to add a second to the clock. Here's the thing. In fact, this is funny. Science News, April 2006, they're talking about how did last year's New Year's Eve seem a trifle tedious? Did your celebration go a little too long? That's because just before midnight, they had to add another second to the clock. Every year, we have to add a second to the clock. The Earth is spinning along. As the Earth is spinning along, it is not spinning steadily. It is actually getting slower. Why? That means that it used to be spinning faster. Right? It used to be spinning faster. This Earth was spinning faster last year than it is right now. It's spinning faster the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before. You go back in Adam and Eve's days, that's no big problem. Their days and nights were a few minutes shorter than ours are today, that's all. But they want us to believe dinosaurs died 65 million years ago. Now folks, if they lived back then, I know what killed these guys off. They tried their best to hold on, but they couldn't do it anymore, you know. This puppy was spinning so fast, it was like a strobe light. Day, night, 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 day, night. What'd you get done today, honey? Not much. So, time to get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed, go to bed. I don't know. Folks, do you realize the facts from science, things that are observable, testable, you can measure it and demonstrate it, say that we're not very old at all. How about stalactites and stalagmites? They say they're millions of years old. We were doing a seminar in Iola, Kansas, and across the street and a little bit down was the community college in the area. A lot of those students were coming in, giving me a hard time. I love that stuff, you know. But anyway, this one gal, she came in on Tuesday, before the service starts, Tuesday night, and she is just madder than mad, you know what I mean? She has not been to one single service, but her friends are coming out, and they're going back and talking to her about what they're finding out. And so anyway, this gal, she finally gets up the courage, she's gonna come in and straighten me out. So she comes in this place, she is chewing me out, she is madder than mad at me, calling me names and everything. And I said, what is your problem, you know? And she said, oh, I'm not having a problem. I said, well, what's wrong? What's your big deal? She said, well, you're lying to these people. You should be ashamed of yourself. And she's just chewing on me. And I said, well, what am I lying about? She said, everything. I said, oh, come on. That's a little far-fetched. I said, well, give me one example and let's deal with it. And then we'll go to another one. So she said, well, stalactites and stalagmites, you're telling people they grow quickly and everybody knows they take millions of years to form. I said, well, why do you think they take millions of years to form? She said, I don't think it, I know it. I said, okay, why do you know they take millions of years to form? She said, my professor told me so. I said, okay. But anyway, now I know what I'm working with at least. So, and we went to the pastor's office, and we photocopied some things, giving it to her. And I said, listen, I want you to go back and take this stuff to your professor. But I don't want you to come back and tell me what he said. I'd like for you to tell him to come back and tell me what he says. You'd like to talk to him about it. So she's taking this stuff out of my hand, just jerking it out of my hand, you know, grumbling and mumbling, fussing at me and everything. And then I hand her this one article and she just melts. And I looked at her and I said, whoa, you know, her whole countenance, everything just changed, you know. I said, what happened? You okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, no, you're not fine. You're either not fine now or you weren't fine a couple of minutes ago, you know. What's going on, you know? And she said, it's nothing. I said, no, what is it? Tell me. She said, well, you see this article right here? I'd hand her to this paper, you know. And I said, yeah, that's a good article. I really want to know what your professor says about that one. She said, I didn't always live here in Kansas. She said, I used to live in Arizona. This guy was my high school teacher, science teacher. She said, I always believed him too, but I don't know what to think anymore. I gave her this article, folks. They were interviewing Jerry Trout. He's a cave specialist.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.